Great to be here today. Let me tell you what, I have been so encouraged by all of the messages that have been spoken thus far. My only regret was not being able to be here early yesterday morning to hear the first set of messages, but I'm thankful that we've got technology, that they're online, that we can go in and review those. So I'm glad for that. The topic that Marshall had sent out for me to talk about is growing in grace and knowledge. And specifically, Marshall asked me to talk about the system, how God's system encourages spiritual growth. So I could honestly sit down because it's already been talked about. But as I look around, I know that there are different faces that are here that weren't necessarily here during the other messages. And also, what I appreciate is that even though all of these messages are interwoven and they overlap, sometimes things being communicated, the same message, but maybe communicated a different way, it lands differently, right? And so my hope and prayer is that this encourages you maybe to think maybe a little bit differently than you have in the past, and that we excel still more. So I'd be remiss if I didn't start off by us turning to 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read that. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." So, as I said, the ask with what Marshall had given to me was to talk about the God's system and the encouragement of growth and how that works. So system is what speaks or what jumps out at me, right? That's we almost have to define that. And so in its most simplest form, definition, it's an arrangement. A system is an arrangement of things working together to accomplish a purpose. So some examples that come to mind. My wife and I, we serve in our school. And Joe, you were just talking about ACE. And ACE has systems, right? There's all of these things. But in our school, right, we have supervisor. We have monitors. We have PACES, which is the schoolwork, right? We have goal cards. There's a process in how all of this works. It all works together to achieve a goal. Likewise, athletes. Athletes are going to have coaches. Joe was just talking about that. There's practices. There's training plans. There's all of those things that work together. They're formulated to achieve a purpose, to win. Businesses have systems in place. Some good, some not so good, right? But then the question is the system the issue? Is the system the issue? And that's really what we're going to get into this evening. So if a system exists to produce a desired result, what is it that God desires from us? It's God's system. So what is it that God is desiring? We have to ask ourselves, why did he give us his word? Why did he establish a church? Why does he command us to pray? Why does he ask us to go out, seek and save the lost? Why does he provide things like fellowship, encouragement, correction? Why does he give us those things? I can tell you this. God did not, in his infinite wisdom, he did not provide a way of salvation for us to then just leave us to figure it out on our own, to figure things out on our own. He designed a way of life intended to transform us into the image of his Son. And Christianity, our walk in Christ, this is not a waiting room. You don't become a Christian and then you just sit and wait for Jesus to come back. Christianity is a growth process, hence the system that God has. Growth is expected. Let me ask you this. If you were to think back, where were you at spiritually 5 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe for some of us in this room, a year ago, 6 months ago, where were we yesterday? We're all in different stages in our walk. Let me ask you this. Do you know God better today than you did yesterday? Has your faith deepened? Has it been strengthened? Are you growing your faith? Growth is expected. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to read a couple verses. Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 12. Hebrews 5, verse 12. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." From this text right here, I can tell you that the writer, in writing this, he's not upset because there were people that might have been babes in Christ. There's a starting point, but then there's a path that we're supposed to be going towards. And so the frustration was that they should have been further along than what they were. Growth and maturity was expected. And our lives in Christ were never intended for us to remain stagnant. I don't know if you've ever been around stagnant water. It's nasty. It smells. There's bugs. It's not good. It's not good. We should not be satisfied with just being stagnant. I'm sure we all know people in Christ, brothers and sisters that are in the faith, who keep on maturing. They encourage us, right? And on the flip side, I would say that we probably could think of a brother or sister who maybe is, they might seem stuck. Maybe you're here this afternoon thinking, "Wow, I've been stuck." I hope that's not the case, but if it is, guess what? Glad you're here. Glad you can be encouraged by the word. Peter, as we get kind of to our the main text that I want to be in tonight, we're going to see that Peter explains to us that God has already supplied everything necessary for our growth. So Mr. Hartman has already been here, but we're going to read it anyways. We're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. So if you flip there, we'll read verses 3 through 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. It says, "Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and then your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way the entrance into the kingdom, into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." This brings me to my first point, guys, is that God provides for us before he requires anything. He's given us everything. Verse 3, "Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. You'll notice that Peter doesn't start by talking about man. He's not talking about mankind. Peter's not even talking at this point. He's not talking about effort, really. He's not talking about diligence. He starts with His divine power. He's talking about how God has not left us lacking. He's not overlooked anything that is essential. I can remember when Lauren and I found out that we were expecting Evelyn, and let me be careful because she was the one that was carrying the child, right? I didn't do any of that. That was all my wife. But I remember wanting to be prepared, right? There's lots of young parents that are in here. There's lots of parents that have lots of kids, right? And so there's lots of different levels of wisdom and experience in here. But when Lauren and I found out that we were first going to become parents, man, we made sure that we had the bassinet, and we made sure that we had the diaper bag and the other diaper bag and the backup diaper bag and the high chair. And, oh, we had to have the car seat, but not just the car seat that snaps into the stroller because, you know, that's what you got to have, right? Yes, I see parents going, yeah, it's really nice to have those things. Yes. Guys, why did we do that? Evelyn wasn't even here yet on this side of the womb, right? Like, but she wasn't here yet. Why did we do that? Well, we had this expectation. We wanted the best for her well-being at that time. So we did everything that we could to provide what we thought was going to be necessary. Now, when Isla came around, we learned that we need half of that stuff, right? Like, we didn't need it, you know? Ah, kid's crying, she's fine. No, that's not, well, there's some truth to that. Okay. Sorry, Isla. Yeah, we love you, Isla. We wanted Evelyn to be able to not just grow, but to be able to thrive. And so my point here with this, guys, is that good parents, they don't just simply expect growth, but they prepare for it. They prepare for it. And our Heavenly Father has done the same thing. He's not called us to faithfulness to just abandon us. And I know that sounds really silly that I might have to say that or that I choose to say that, but He has supplied us with everything that is needed. We can go back and look at Noah. Noah's been referenced, right? God didn't just simply come to Noah and say, hey man, you're going to want to build a boat. Good luck. He didn't do that. What did He do? He gave warning. He gave instructions. He gave measurements. He even gave him the material list as to what it was that he was going to need to. He gave him a pattern. He gave him a pattern. Now, Noah had a responsibility. Don't misunderstand me. Noah had a responsibility, but Noah's obedience was built on what God gave. So we see God uses patterns all throughout Scripture, and the pattern that we're going to talk about that I'm referencing tonight is that God gives, man has a responsibility to respond, and then growth occurs. And it's through us responding in participating that growth occurs. So what is it that God has given us? Well, I've already mentioned, He's given us His Word so that way we can know His will. He's given us the ability of prayer so that way we can approach Him. We have the church, so we're not walking alone physically. He's given us He's given us examples of faithfulness so that way we can learn. Above all, He's given us the Spirit, the Helper. God's provision reveals to us that what He wants is spiritual maturity in His people. So the preparations for Evelyn at least from our perspective, should have shown that we wanted what was best for her and what we thought was going to be best for her in that moment, right? I'll make sure I don't lose my spot here. Right here. All right. So, and we know that we can see that from what God provides, that's an inclination. That really shows us what He expects from us, what He desires from us. God wants a people who are going to grow. He wants a people who are going to mature. And He wants His people to succeed spiritually. Some people, when you talk to them out in the lost, out in the world, they have this picture, they paint this picture, this image of God is that He's just waiting for us to fail. We know that's not the case. In fact, Peter paints a different picture. Peter shows us a God who has supplied us everything. And what we read, He gives us everything pertaining to life and godliness. I want us to look down verse 5 of that text, the 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge." My second point is that, again, God's system, it encourages growth through the participation. And that is, if we look, the first part of that verse is saying, "Now for this very reason also." For what reason? What's the reason? Because God has already provided everything necessary. It's for that reason. So God has done His part. Now we have to respond. Guys, God doesn't force growth. He encourages it. He invites it. That's what He wants. But He's not going to force it to happen. If you want, you can turn to Philippians chapter 2. We'll read 12 and 13. Philippians chapter 2. Starting in verse 12, it says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Work out your salvation. That's responsibility. God who is at work in you, that's provision and power. God works, we respond, growth occurs. God has given us everything that we need. We have a responsibility. There's action that has to be involved on our part, and we'll see growth. I was gonna use another illustration about Evelyn, but actually something really cool happened today, at least in my mind as a dad. Isla had it set in her mind that she was going to learn how to ride one of those ripsticks out there. And now, I didn't provide her with the ripstick. They've already been provided because, you know, they're just here. And Isla is just determined that she's going to learn how to ride this thing. And she's watching and watching and watching. And last year, she might have tried. I don't know. She asked for help. She's like, "Dad, could you just balance me?" And I thought, no, I really don't want to. So, I kind of stood there. I don't know if that was a good move or not. But eventually she got to me, right? And I'm like, "All right, let me help you." I mean, I certainly can't take the credit because Andrew, he spent a lot of time, didn't you, buddy? Yep. All right. Isla comes in. She goes, "Dad, I did it." Now she can ripstick. All right, cool. Riding a bike. I remember with Evelyn, wanting to help, she wanted to learn how to ride a bike. She said she wanted to learn how to ride a bike. So we got her, she had the bike, she had the helmet, she had all of the things to be able to ride the bike, okay? All right, Dad's right there behind her. I'm kind of jogging with her. We're going, and then I let go, and down she goes. Down she goes. Kid's got to get back up and get back on that bike. She's only going to do it, though, when she's ready. And she wasn't ready, because if she was, she would have gotten back up on that bike and she would have kept trying and kept practicing. And now, really cool thing happened either this last year or the year before, and it's at Lima Rally each time. This is cool. I go outside and my kid's riding a bike. See, she sat outside and she watched all of these kids doing the motion of riding the bike. And it wasn't until she was ready to get on that bike, but she was watching. See, I liken that to the church, our brothers and sisters in the faith, okay? If we're not sure how to do something, we have examples. The thing is that everything can be provided, the bike, the helmet, all of the things. But until you're willing to be an active participant in that, you're not going to ride the bike. You're not going to do the Bible study. You're not going to have the time spent in prayer. You're not going to open up your script until you're ready to do that. And this is a warning to us. This whole theme of this camp is that there's work to do. These parables, all of the messages, we have to be active and we need to act now. We need to act now. So, we talk about applying all diligence. What is diligence? Diligence is intentional effort. Growth does not happen accidentally. Have you ever accidentally became physically healthy? Have you ever accidentally built a stronger marriage? Have you ever accidentally become financially responsible? The things that matter most require effort. Let's continue reading. I'll start in verse 5 again. So now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. Qualities that are listed here: faith, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Guys, this is not just a checklist. Peter is ultimately showing us what growing faith looks like. Every quality assumes movement. Every quality assumes development. And every quality assumes participation. Faith is not meant to remain where it started. There is a difference between growing older and growing spiritually. And time alone does not produce maturity. Some Christians have followed Christ for decades and they're still growing. And guess what? That's by design. Others seem to have just stopped growing years ago. Yeah, they make it to Lord's Day. Maybe. They make it to Wednesday sometimes. It seems like the priorities just keep, they're out of whack, right? The question isn't how long have I been a Christian. Really, the question that we need to be asking ourselves is, am I still growing? Am I still growing? Am I learning? Am I maturing? Am I becoming more like Jesus? What was I doing a year ago? What am I doing now? What is the impact that I'm having? Guys, God's system that He's got established produces fruitfulness and it produces confidence. Verse 8 says, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Something that I want that can be very easily just glossed over. We see the "for if these qualities are yours." Let us not miss the part that says "and are increasing." He's talking about growth. He's talking about progress, and he's talking about development. So how do you know if you've grown? I really appreciated Mr. Luke Wilson's lesson last night about fruit. You'll see fruit. You'll be useful. You're going to have a life that matters, a life that's serving God, a life that serves His people, a life that brings glory to Him. The question was asked for us to consider last night. If Jesus came back right now, would you be satisfied with what you've given in your life in Christ? I'm not there. I got work to do. I got more that I want to accomplish for Him. John 15, verses 4 and 5 say, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus said that. Christians remain connected to Christ. Christians participate in what God has provided. And these qualities continue to increase. The result is fruitfulness. The result is usefulness. And ultimately, it is a result of a life that glorifies God. 2 Peter 1:9 says, "For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins." If you are a growing Christian, you will see things more clearly. I really appreciated Joe's example of, you know, he played basketball in the same system in which he was coaching, but he didn't fully understand maybe some of the things as a player that he did as a coach. If you're wondering what's going on, maybe you're not participating. You know, something that Peter does not say is that the person forgot the facts. He didn't say that they forgot what they had learned, the things that they had been taught. He says that they forgot their purification. They forgot what God had done for them. They lost sight of that grace and mercy. Mr. Wilson brought up Ephesians 2:10. We won't go there because of time. Spiritual growth, let me say it this way. The longer that we walk with Christ and we're active, the more clearly that we will see how much we need Him. Growth ultimately produces clarity. It keeps Christ at the center. It keeps us focused on eternal things, and it helps us to see life through God's perspective. If I go to put on my wife's glasses, I can't see anything. Right now, generally, I can see farsighted without my glasses. Y'all are blurry because I just took these off. Now I can see clearly. We need to see life through God's lens. But that takes action on our part. I'll tell you that confidence does not come from feelings. It doesn't come from comparing ourselves to others. It doesn't come from just claiming that everything's fine. Confidence does come from us actively growing, us actively practicing. We need to become more like Christ, and we have the opportunity to do that today. So we need to do that today. There's a saying in real estate that you make hay when you can make hay, because the market is so volatile and you just never know if you're going to be able to sell a house this month or if it's going to take 6 months. 6 months is, wow. 6 months to sell a house. So if you're busy, be busy and work. Well, guys, today's the day. We have to make the most of it. because we don't know when our time is up. My grandmother, she passed away at the age of 48 years old. She was standing on a ladder, wallpapering a wall. It was for my cousin's nursery, and she had a stroke, brain aneurysm, done. Now, I'm not the judge, but I know where my grandma is. And if she could say anything, I think she would say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Get it right, because I don't think that she planned to die at age 48. Many of us think that we're going to live to be 90, 95, 100. Mrs. Yutzi says, no. You can pull out of this parking lot and get smacked by a car, Mack truck, right? We don't know. So make the most of today. The question in this whole topic is, what's the secret in that? It's our participation. God's given us everything. We become active in that. The growth will be there. Thank you.